You referred earlier to the use of corn for ethanol, and you were relating that to the ranching business.
Yes.
What corn? You said it would have an impact. How?
The cost. What we produce here, we buy basically a calf that is bred and raised to weaning age in the Gulf Coast area. We bring it to Oklahoma and we add 300 to 500 pounds to that animal on our grass. Then it's shipped on to the High Plains, and that's the Oklahoma Guyman, Oklahoma would kind of be the High Plains area is kind of a football shaped area, with Guyman, Oklahoma kind of being the middle of the laces on the football. The upper end, kind of Hyannis, Nebraska, the bottom end, Lubbock, Texas. And it pretty much covers the area that is underlain by the Ogallala Aquifer of water. And the reason that the cattle feeding industry is there is because of that water that produces the grain that feeds the cattle. So when that 800 to 900 pound feeder animal is shipped to that feedlot from here, then it is fed on basically corn or milo, which is a corn substitute, from then until it reaches 1,250 to 1,300 pound harvest weight. Then it goes to the packing house. Well, our direct customer are those feed yards, and they are really in a bind because the price of corn went up so dramatically with the mandates dictated by Congress for ethanol. And right now, when they buy our feeder animal, and they have to have that animal because they have a factory out there, which is the feedlot, and without our feeder animal, they're out of business. But to put that added value versus that corn on, it's costing so much that they're losing money on every single one they feed. So there's no way that the industry can endure right now unless either the price of the finished product, the beef, goes up dramatically, or the price of corn comes down dramatically. And with the economy like it is, it's going to be very hard to get more money. Beef historically is high, and it's high because of the numbers. We don't have the total beef supply, but it's the demand problem. What can you get for it? And right now, some of the high-end steakhouses, even the Mortons and the Ruth Chris and those, they're running far, far below their capacity. Now, on the manufacturing beef or hamburger end, like McDonald's, they're doing very well. That is a sign, obviously, of the state of the economy. And I love McDonald's. I love what they do for our industry. But it's that high end. It's that loin cut that we've always depended on for the profit end. And right now, it's a hard sell. So the price of corn has dramatically changed. It's also changed our competition for pork and poultry. For instance, one of the largest poultry companies, Pilgrim's Pride, they're in bankruptcy right now. All of the packing people, for instance, Tyson, they're in dire straits. You know, it's a margin business, and the margin simply isn't there with the price of corn reaching the levels that it has. So there's really some things on the horizon that don't look very good. But hopefully we've always survived one way or another, and I guess we'll figure out a way to do it. But right now it looks pretty tough.
Does the Hughes family ever eat chicken?
I guess after it's already dead, somebody's got to eat it, don't they? But we do eat a lot of beef, and we love beef. I'll tell you, though, I grew up eating grass-fed beef, and say, I'll tell you what, I like the one we haul back from the feed yard the best. I want corn-fed, you know. The grass certainly plays a big role. It puts on that cheapest part of the gain, and that's great, and we're proud of that that part in the industry that we have. But to have a superior product, we really believe that it needs to go to the feed yard for that last 110 days. And that's really what it takes. You need a 110 days on corn, 90% corn ration, and then you got a product that is not only tender but very, very flavorful.